This week is Parshas Vayakov, Akudei, Parshas Paro. Okay. I think it's one of the first weeks I forgot my notebook at home. I wrote it up and I ran out the door. I was halfway here in the car and I said, oh, I forgot it. And okay. So I'll try to
remember.
Do the best that I can. Okay. Okay. Vayakel Moshe is Koladas B'nai Yisrael Vayomer Aleihem. Moshe gathers together the whole congregation of B'nai Yisrael and he says, Eila HaDvarim Ashet Tziva Hashem Rasay Soysom. There are quite a few balaturims in this pasuk that are very on target and very, very apropos. Vayakel Moshe. Moshe gathered together B'nai Yisrael. This is the balaturim. What's the meaning of Vayakel on Shabbos? Vayakel. You don't find the Rosh of Vayakel and here it's together with the Shabbos. He says, because that Shabbos is a remez, that on Shabbos and Yom Tov, we should gather together to hear at Rosh. We gather together in Rosh. The Medrash says that Shabbos and Yom Tov were given to learn Torah. People that work during the week and are occupied during the week and are busy, so when do they have free time to learn? They have free time on Shabbos. So Shabbos is the day of Vayakel Moshe. Moshe gathered together the Eidah to teach at the Darshan and to learn with them Torah. We know on Shabbos there are Lamatas Melachas, 39 Melachas. The Gemara Bemesit Shabbos finds a remez in the pasuk Eile Hadvarim. Eile is Aleph Lamed Hey, is a gematria of 36, and then either the word Eile itself has three letters, so 36 plus 3 is 39. What about the Turim brings down Hadvarim? Devarim is a Lashon Rabim, is two, and the extra Hey is on one more is three, is Eile is 36 plus Hadvarim another three equals 39. Baal Turim says there are other Ramazim in the Pasuk. The Pasuk ends off, Ashet Tziva Hashem, La Sois Oisom. How is the word La Sois spelled? Lamed Ayin Sin Sof. The Vav is missing. There's no Vav in the word La Sois. Lamed Ayin Sin and Asof. Says the Baal Turim, you could break up the word La Sois into Lamed, 30, and the next three letters, Ayin Sin Tof, rearrange to spell Tesha, to spell 9. So you have Lamed, Tesha. You have 39. The word lasois, you have a remez to the 39 malachos. Lamed, and then ayin sintof, rearranged, spells tesha, 39. Second of all, says the Baal Turim, if you count from the beginning of the parasha, from the word vayakel, until the end of pasuk gimel, b'yom haShabbos, there are 39 words. 39 words from the beginning of vayakel, until b'yom haShabbos, a remez to the 39 malachos. So, I said, I'm going to count, because I know what's going to happen. I'm going to say this over, and someone's going to count and say it doesn't work out. So I started counting, and I had 40 words. I said, okay, count again. I counted a second time, 40 again. I said, one more try, and again it was 40. So I said, it says 40 words. Then I looked further in the Baal Turim. The Baal Turim says, until the last word HaShabbos, there's 39 words starting from Vayakel, until B'yayim, as a remez, 39 HaShabbos. On Shabbos, there are 39 malachas that are also to do on, that are also to do on Shabbos. Pasuk Gimel tells us, Lois Baru Eish, Bechol Moish Vaisechem, B'yayim HaShabbos.
Eile is 36.
Eile is 36, right.
So where's the 39?
Either three letters, Aleph, I mean three letters, or Hadvarim, Dvarim is Roshim Rabbis 2, and the Hey is Marba 1 more is 3. Pasuk Gimel says, "Lois Varu Eish b'chol Moish Vaseichem b'yom haShabbos." Don't light a fire on Shabbos. And of course, the simple mira pasuk is the issa of lighting a fire. The Gemara has a whole discussion why the Torah singles out the melacha of fire. The 39 melachas. Why does the Torah single out the melacha of fire? Either lachalak yotzasa, lalav yotzasa. Two opinions in the Gemara. If it's coming to tell us that one does not need to do all 39 malachas to be over. But if he does one, he's over. L'chalak yotzeso. Or to teach us that Havara, lighting a fire, is different than all the other malachas, because lighting a fire is only alive and not a chi of misa like the others. Akoponim, the Shalach Kodosh, says in this pasuk, Lois Varoesh, refers to the fire of Machlaikis. The heat, the fire of Machlaikis. Lois Varoesh, b'chol moish v'seichem b'yayim haShabbos. Be extra careful on Shabbos not to ignite the fire of machloikis in your house. And we all know what happens at the beginning of Shabbos. We just change the clock, so tomorrow, Friday's a little bit longer, a little more time. But we all know what happens when Shabbos comes. There's always that behola and that rosh, and we forgot that how come that wasn't done and this and have to. Somehow the Yetzer Hara is able to turn things around. And the reason is Poshet, because Zeh U'Mazeh. When the greatest Kedusha comes, that's when the Yetzer Hara has his Koyach Keneged the Kedusha. So when Shabbos comes in, Kedusha is coming in, the Yetzer Hara has to even it out. The Yetzer Hara evens it out by bringing Bahola, Machoikis, Kas into the world, the same time the Kedusha comes into the world. The Pasuk warns us, Lois to Varalei, should be very careful. Don't light that fire of Machoikis on Shabbos. Befrat, when it comes Erev Shabbos, when it comes the beginning of Shabbos, be extra careful not to start off Shabbos with that Kas, with that Machoikis. The way the Shabbos starts at the beginning, that's the way the rest of the Shabbos follows. So Lois to Varalei, don't light the fire of Machoikis on Shabbos. The Baal HaTorim says,
goes together with this Shabbos.
It goes together?
So it's continuing.
The Baal HaTorim says, Lois Varweish, Oma Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I put out the fire of Gehenim on Shabbos. I'm asking you to put out your fire on Shabbos. Lois Varweish. Hashem says, I don't light my fire on Shabbos. Don't light your fire on Shabbos. Put out the fire. And I'll say it over, I've said it over many times. When people run after Shabbos, Mitzvah Shabbos, to end Shabbos earlier, they're only hurting themselves. Because the fires of Gehenim don't burn on Shabbos. When do the Rishoyim go back to Gehenim? When Shabbos is over. When is Shabbos over? Whenever a person ends the Shabbos down here, that's when Shabbos ends for him. Lacham Me'avers Mishana. So if he's the first one to end Shabbos, he's in a rush to end Shabbos, in Shemayim, they end Shabbos for him earlier, and the fires go on earlier. So it's in a person's best interest to extend the Shabbos and be from those that are memahar to bring on a Shabbos, start the Shabbos early, and to end the Shabbos late. And we have a koyach of Tosfos Shabbos. We have this tremendous koyach of being able to add on to Shabbos at the beginning and at the end. A person could start Shabbos early, and a person could extend the Shabbos. By mitzvahs, usually you don't find this koyach to add on to a mitzvah, to extend the mitzvah. You can't add on to the tefillin. You can't put on five parshiyos. You can't take away from the tefillin. Shabbos, we have a right to add and to extend. We can start Shabbos early in the day and end Shabbos later. It's up to the person when he wants to start, when he wants to end. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us that koyach in the mitzvah of Shabbos. Shabbos is above the week, above the 6 days of the week, and we have that koyach to be able to extend the Shabbos by starting early and ending later. And the longer a person wants to start Shabbos, a person can bring on the Kedusha of Shabbos earlier. But lois varoesh. Be careful. Don't light that fire of machloikis on Shabbos, that fire of kas. And a person should shoot Shabbos with the proper Kedusha. Famous marshal, they say over, person once complained, how can I stop working on Shabbos? If the store's closed on Shabbos, I'm not working on Shabbos, panosa, what's gonna be? So, one famous marshal, maybe it's a different version, person is walking on the road carrying his heavy load, carrying a heavy package. And he's schwitzing and sweating, struggling under the heavy load. And suddenly, a wagon with a horse passes by. And the Baal HaGola stops the wagon and says, do you need a ride? I'm going into town anyway. Come, jump on board the wagon. And he jumps on the wagon with the heavy package on his back, and he sits down on the wagon. And the wagon starts to go, and they're traveling, and he still has the heavy package on his back. He didn't take it off. After a while, the Baal HaGola says to him, if your package is a little bit heavy, you can take it off and put it on the seat. No one's sitting next to you in the wagon. You can put the package down on the wagon. And the rider, the guest says to the Baal HaGola, it's enough that you gave me a ride. I'm not going to matriach you that the wagon should shut my package also. Nah, the nimshel's obvious. Nah, of course, if the wagon's pulling him, my nafkamina, if he's wearing it, or he puts the package down, the wagon's pulling him with the package. Kodesh Baruch Hu pulls us with all our packages, with all our pekuch. We have our worries, our concerns during the week. It comes Shabbos, a person's concern is supposed to be finished, put it aside, as if all his malach is done. The pasuk says, Sheshes yom teyos malacha, v'yem ha'shuchem kodesh. At the end of the 6 days, a person has to look at it, consider as if his malachas, all his work is done, it's finished. And now Shabbos, the day of rest, the day of Kedusha. Take off your heavy packages. Don't sit there Shabbos with a heavy package on your back. Kodesh Baruch Hu could take care of you and your packages and your concerns and all the worries that a person has. Treat the Shabbos with the proper Kedusha. there's a minig to eat farfel, to eat barley, farfel Friday night. Whether it's done still or not, some do, some don't. What's the makar for the minig? In Yiddish, barley is farfel. A person has to look at it as if all his business is farfalin. Everything is finished. When it all fell away, it's all finished. It's all farfalin. It's all done with. It comes Shabbos. Everything's farfalin. Finished with, done with, over with. Today is Shabbos, a day of Kedusha, a day of rest. So let's be mechazik our appreciation and our understanding of the Kedusha of Shabbos.
Rosh Hashanah said, "Found all the oivim, all the enemies."
Yeah, same. Enemies fall before him. Another moshe we said over in the past about Shabbos. How should a person use? How does a person use a Shabbos? So this moshe we said over. There was once a hard worker, and he's walking home from work. And he's walking through the center of the town, and he passes by the theater, and he sees a line outside the theater lined up. People are waiting and waiting, and he sees all the excitement in the crowd, and he asks somebody, "What's happening? What's the big crowd for?" They tell him there's a big concert happening, a big musician and an opera singer are coming to sing and to play, and we're all waiting online to buy tickets to go inside. And he figures, no, I had a hard day at work, I deserve a little entertainment. So he joins the line, he waits on the line. He goes, pays his ticket, comes inside, sits down. In the theater, they have plush seats. He sits down, he sinks into a seat, he sits back. And his neighbors, everybody's talking and humming about the concert is about to start. Finally, the theater quiets down, the concert begins, the singers start singing, the musicians start to play, and everyone is amused, everyone is enjoying it, and this person is so tired from the hard day at work, he sinks into a seat, closes his eyes, and he's out cold. The next thing he knows, everyone's clapping for the concert. The concert is over. He wakes up. The concert is over. Everyone is clapping. The concert came to an end. And his neighbor turns to him and says, "What a great concert. Didn't you enjoy the singing? What a great voice. And the musicians, what great music." He's a little embarrassed and he says, "Oh, what a great seat to have. How comfortable it was. What a great theater it was so warm inside." And the neighbor says to him, "Fool, for that you came here, for that you paid money. You could go home and sit in a seat. Go home and be warm. Here you came to enjoy the show." What happens to us? It comes Shabbos. Shabbos is a day of Kedusha, a day we're supposed to enjoy in a ruchniyah sense, in a spiritual sense. And what do we use it for? We go home, tired, go to sleep. I eat, I sleep. It's all the gashmias. And we miss the ikkar. After Shabbos is over, I enjoyed Shabbos. I went to shul. I learned. We had a good rosh. What did you do over Shabbos? I had a good sleep. How many hours did you sleep? What did you eat? Person has to realize that the ikar of Shabbos is not the gashmius of the Shabbos, but rather the ruchnius, the spiritual aspect of the Shabbos. Especially after a whole week of being in the gashmius of the world, let's use the Shabbos the proper way for a day of kedusha. Find a little bit later in the parasha. The pasuk says, Chacham Lev, Bitzal was called a Chacham Lev, one who has a smart heart. The pasuk calls those who donated to the Mishkan, Nesoi Liboy, by Shani, pasuk Chavalef, by Yavoyo Koloshish and Nesoi Liboy, their hearts elevated them to donate. And the Divlev, pasuk Chofbei is a rosh of the divlev, a generous heart. But Tzal is a chacham lev. We find the word lev being used in different ways. The soy liboy, the divlev, the ik of a person is the heart. Where's machshava is? A person could give, could donate, could build a mishkan, but where's his machshava? Where's the heart? Where's the mind? The Sefer story, the Chazainish, was once learning in his house together with somebody, and they were involved in a sugi, they were learning, and suddenly the Chazainish stops, and he says to his chavrusa, "Someone's knocking on the door. Go see who's by the door." And the chavrusa says, "V'chazonish, I didn't hear anybody. Nobody's knocking on the door. Nobody's here. I didn't hear anybody." Chazonish says, "There's somebody by the door. Go open the door." Okay. So the chavrusa gets up. He walks to the door, opens it up, and lo and behold, there's a old almana standing by the door. Old almana. And she had knocked on the door very, very lightly. And he was surprised that Chazanish was able to hear such a light knock on the door. Chazanish says, "Tell her to come in." She comes in, and she let out her tzaras to the Chazanish. She told her all the problems that she had, and everything she needed, and the hard life that she had. She cried to him. The Chazonish spoke to her, made her feel better, gave her a little tzedakah, and kitzur, she left. After she left, the Chapusa says, the Chazonish, tell me, how did you hear the knock on the door? My hearing is better than yours. There was no way I could have heard that knock on the door. The Chazonish says, I don't know if I heard the knock on the door, but I heard the knocking of a heart. I heard the beating of a heart. I heard the knocking of a heart, the crying of a heart, that she needed help. And that, I was able to hear. He said, a Yid has to hear, not the Yid crying. When he hears the heart crying, he has to hear. A Yid is not just the outside. A Yid is the lev, the inside. The Torah calls us the div lev, the soy liboy, chacham lev. It's what's inside. It's the heart. Chazonish said, I didn't hear the knocking of the door, but I heard the heart. I heard the knocking of our heart. I heard the crying of our heart. And the ikir is, when a person does a mitzvah, the ikir is not so much the outside. The ikir is the inside. Where's his machshava? What is he thinking? How is he doing it? Two people could do the same mitzvah. He said many times, they're worlds apart. On the outside, it looks the same. But what were they thinking of the mitzvah? One can't wait till the mitzvah's over. I can't wait to get out of shul. I can't wait till the mitzvah's over. The other one says, I'm here. I'm davening. I'm doing the mitzvah properly. They're doing the same actions, but the world's apart. In Shemayim, the worlds are worlds apart. Daycare is a person's heart. When a person does a mitzvah, a person keeps a Shabbos, a person helps somebody, a person has to think with his heart. Today Israel, think with the hearts. When it comes to helping somebody, feel with one's heart. One feels with the heart, he could feel and hear what the air doesn't. The heart could feel. The pasuk tells us at the beginning of Parshas Pekudei, Moshe gives a whole cheshbin of every single penny collected for the Mishkan. Every machzis ha-shekel and all the materials and the tcheles and the gomon and the silver, the gold, the copper. Moshe cheshbins out to a T every single item, every single penny that was collected for the Mishkan. And the Medrash says, why did Moshe cheshbin out every single item and money collected for the Mishkan? Because he heard there were people that were chayshed him, that he took some of it for himself. So Moshe went ahead, in order to make sure there was no chash, he went ahead and he spelled out clearly what he did with every single money, penny, coins, materials he collected for the Mishkan. Yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu went out of his way. The Pasuk tells us, V'yisim nekiyim mi'Hashem u'mi'Yisrael. A person has to be naki, innocent, in the eyes of Hashem and the eyes of people. A person has to be careful that he shouldn't act in a way people will suspect him, people will be chayshish, they did something wrong. On the other hand, we have the obligation of being dying kaf schus, to judge somebody favorably. We see somebody do something, we're too fast to jump and say, oh, look what he's doing, it's asur, he's wrong, it's not correct. We have to judge people kaf schus. Two famous stories. Reb Simcha Bonim Peshischo was a great rebbe in his own right. Two Eidim once came to Beis Din and they testified that Reb Simcha Bonim Peshischa ate on Yom Kippur. That he ate on Yom Kippur. That he ate on Yom Kippur. And it caused a whole tumult. Maisa Shehoya Kachaya. What really happened behind the scenes? His daughter-in-law was in his house and she gave birth on Yom Kippur. She gave birth on Yom Kippur. A Yoledes has to eat. She's not allowed to fast on Yom Kippur. You're not allowed to let her fast. Sakana. The daughter-in-law refused to eat. She wanted to fast after giving birth. She didn't want to eat. So they called him Simcha Bonim, and he came. He convinced her she has to eat, and she refused. She said, the only way I'll eat is if you yourself, bring me the food. If you bring me the food and you serve it to me, then I know it's okay to eat, and I'll eat. But if you don't bring it to me, I'm not going to eat it. So he went ahead to the kitchen, and he prepared the food. And as he's carrying in the food to bring it out to eat, these two people pass by, saw him through the window holding the food in his hand, and they jump to conclusions that he's eating on Yom Kippur.
Look, have you ever heard Von Oire from the mansion is from the Maibar?
Yeah.
It's a saying.
Yeah. People judge too fast. Dan l'kafschus. Rabbi Levine, the tzaddik of Yerushalayim, was known to be dan people l'kafschus. He was known with that midah. And somebody once asked him, where did he learn it from? Where did he pick up that midah of being down on Kafs Chus? He carried it to the extreme. He was down, even the prisoners and people that you and I would never associate with, he was down on Kafs Chus, and he helped them as much as he can. And somebody once asked him, where did you pick up that midah from? Where did it come from? And I said, I'll tell you over a story that happened to me. Rabbi Eliezer Rivlin was the gabbai of one of the tzedakas in Yerushalayim, and he died. He was niftar. Rabbi Levin was on the way to Levaya. By the Levaya, they were walking the Oren to Har HaZeisim. They were walking with the Oren. And together with him was a good friend of the niftar, Rabbi Shmuel Cook was his name. And they were walking together in Levaya. Suddenly, as they're walking in Levaya, Rabbi Shmuel says to Rabbi Levin, I have to take care of something. He runs off the Levaya. Rabbi Levin is very puzzled. Rabbi Shmuel Cook and the niftar were very close. They worked together for 30 years. He couldn't understand how a good friend is leaving the Levaya to take care of something very important. He looks around and he sees Rabbi Shmuel Cook goes into a flower store. It's a famous story. He goes into a flower store selling flowers. Rabbi Levin is, this doesn't make any sense. And he sees Rabbi Shmuel come out a few minutes later with a nice flower pot. A nice flower pot. Rabbi Levin said at that time he had it. Yeah. How do you leave the Levaya to go buy a flower pot?
Yeah.
At least Chach, wait till the Levaya is over, in the middle of a friend's Levaya to buy a flower pot. So he said to Rabbi Shmuel, where's your covered a nifta? Where's your covered a mace? How could you go ahead and buy a flower pot in the middle of the Levaya? And Rabbi Shmuel told him, I bought the flower pot, not for flowers. There's a chayla who just was nifter in one of the hospitals. This chayla had leprosy, very contagious, and the doctors said that if this chayla died, all his clothing and anything that he came in contact with has to be burnt, has to be destroyed, so the disease shouldn't spread. And they want to burn all his clothing, blankets, pillow sheets, and he had tefillin. And they wanted to burn his tefillin. And I pleaded with the doctors not to burn the tefillin. And they told me that if I bring an earthenware pot, and we could put the tefillin in the earthenware pot, and bury it inside this earthenware pot, then the tefillin would not be burnt. But they told me that by 12 o'clock in the afternoon, they're burning everything. If I'm not there by 12 o'clock with the earthenware pot, they're going to burn the tefillin. Wow. And he says that it's getting close to 12 o'clock, and I had no other eitzah but to go buy this earthenware pot now in order to bury and save the tefillin. Rabbi Levin said, from that maisan on, he learned you always judge somebody by the kafskos. You never know why somebody does something. To us, it looks like he's doing wrong. He's not right. I would never do it. It's pot. But the truth is, everybody has cheshbonos. People do things. And generally speaking, Klal Yisrael, we're all tzaddikim, we're all good people. Mitzvah to judge somebody with kaf schus that were doing good. A little while in the parasha, we find about the me'il. The me'il had a pomegranate and three pomegranates. The pomegranates and the bells on the bottom of the me'il. There's a machlokes Rashi in the Ramban, exactly how the pomegranate and three pomegranates were put on the me'il. We're familiar with Rashi's Shita. Rashi learns that they were separate. They alternated. There was a bell, next it was a shape of a rimoin, then a bell, then another pomegranate, bell, pomegranate. So the bottom of the me'il had bells and pomegranates hanging on the bottom. And like the pasuk says, Nishma Kailoi Bevoyal HaKadosh. When the Kohen Gadol walked, the bells rang and it made noise. The pomegranates were silent, were quiet. That's Rashi's Shita. The Lashon of the pasuk is Pamoinim Besoy Charimoinim. The Ramban learns that they were together. The Pamoinim were in the Rimoinim. The bells were the outside, and inside each of the bells was a gold pomegranate. So it wasn't bell, pomegranate alternating, but inside each of the gold bells there was a pomegranate. Now, Chalik Svashi and Ramban had the me'il looked. Was the bells and pomegranates separate, or the pomegranates inside the bells? The Kozenberger Rebbe built up Kiryat Sanz in Netanya, in Eretz Yisrael. In 1956, he started Kiryat Sanz in Netanya. At that time, people asked him, why Netanya? Netanya was not a religious city. Netanya was a vacation spot. Seaside resort. Why are you starting in Netanya? And he started in Netanya, Kiryat Sanz, in a separate area. He built up Kiryat Sanz. He had a hashpah in the city. And eventually, religion, Yiddishkeit, spread throughout the city. And years later, they already brought in a new role for the great synagogue in Netanya, and the city started to turn around. When they brought in this new role, the Kozenberger Rebbe spoke, and he said over the following part. He said over, we find the machlokes Rashi and the Ramban and Gabi the Me'il. Rashi learns the Me'il, the bells and the pomegranates were separate, and the Ramban learns that the bells, the pomegranates were inside the bells. what do the bells represent? What do the pomegranates represent? We have a Gemara. The Gemara tells us the pomegranates represent the Poshei Yisrael, the sinners of Yisrael. The Gemara uses the expression that even the Poshei Yisrael are Malayim mitzvahs karimoy, are filled with mitzvahs like a pomegranate. A pomegranate has seeds, filled with pits, seeds. Even the Poshei, the sinners of Yisrael, do mitzvahs, they're filled with mitzvahs. They remind and represent the sinners of Yisrael. The bells represent v'nishma kailoi, b'vayokash, represent tzaddikim, p'midachomim, those whose voices are heard. The remainim are the rishayim, the pamayim, the bells, are the ones that are the tzaddikim, that teach Torah, give over Torah, spread Torah. It says the Kolenzenberger Rebbe, Amol, you have to have both separate. Amol, you have to have the pamayim, the tzaddikim separate, p'midachomim, and you have to have the hamayinam, you can't mix the two. In the beginning, when you're starting off, you can't mix. It's not going to work. When we started building Kiryat Sanz, we had to have it separate. We had a separate shuna for Kolzenberg. But now that the years went on and the influence spread, now it's time to learn the Ramban. Now it's time to put the Pamoinim, the Remoinim in the Pamoinim. Now it's time to spread out and to have the Pamoinim mixed with the Remoinim, mixed with the Poshei Yisrael, mixed with other people, and teach them and spread the Torah. Sometimes a person has to know you have to run away, you have to be by yourself, and sometimes the time to go out and to mix with people and teach people and help people and so on. L'maisa, we live in our world, we're together, we're not isolated. We live together with Frayidin, we live together with the Goyim, society as a whole, we're affected by everything that goes on around us. And if we say we're not, we're fooling ourselves. We're affected by whatever goes on around us. We have to realize with the pamayim, with the bells, with the ones that have a nishma kaila, give off the v'leil kaidish. It's our job to make a kiddush Hashem in front of the world and to teach others and want to learn from us. And even though we might think that who am I? Me? I'm going to influence others? And the answer is yes. Everybody influences others. Everybody, people look, people watch, people see, people know, people learn from us. And our job is to go out and v'nishma kaila, to give off v'leil kaidish, to create a kiddush Hashem, which taka b'zaycha, it's coming close to Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Pashas Parah, Inin of Tara, becoming Tahar, we should taka b'zaycha, to prepare ourselves, and this year we should be zaycha, to be able to bring the Korban Pesach and the Beis HaMikdash, together with Mashiach Zakenim, here, Yemeinu, Amen.